Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I am here with Michael Brazemley.
Hi everyone.
To answer questions. We got questions in our mailbag. If you have questions that you would like to see answered on Classes of Mail, feel free to send them to classesofmail@gmail.com. Likewise, if you have feedback, if you have suggestions, anything like that, just something that you think I should know, send that to classesofmail@gmail.com. Also, my Facebook profile is completely public, and so you can send me messages through there, and I respond to all messages, including from people who want me to buy cryptocurrency from them or from ladies who are very lonely and think that I'm the most handsome person they've ever seen. And how are you doing, sweetheart? I accept all those messages. So here today, we have messages that are a little bit more productive, and Michael and I are going to answer them. So shall we get right into it?
Sure.
All right. Question number one. Are we required to take our breaks and lunch in the same location every day? I can't even remember what address I put on the form. I don't remember the name of the document. I'll tell you that in a sec. Can a carrier be disciplined for taking their break at a different location? So the first thing is the form is the 1564A. That is the...
In your red book,
right. It's your route information, and it has everything on there, like what your vehicle number is, where your route starts, where your different relays are. All that stuff is on the 1564A.
Oh, you mean the vehicle that's assigned to?
Yeah, the vehicle that's assigned. Oh. Yeah,
so you can file a grievance on that if you get somebody gives it to somebody
else. Oh, that's
a
good point, right, because it is in violation of what's on the 1564A. Exactly. Yeah, I never thought about that.
Imagine when I go after carriers for going to another lunch.
Yeah.
You can use that too.
Yeah, sure. So down in the lower right of your 1564A, it'll have break locations and lunch locations. And then it also has, and there's more than one, like you can choose three lunch locations, multiple break locations. And then there's also a section for your technician to have their lunch and break locations.
Now, that is not your permanent lunch locations.
Well, that speaks to the question.
Exactly.
Right? This is where this form dates back to a time before we had cell phones, before we had scanners with GPS in them and with texting in them.
Mm-hmm. And so that magic can find you if there was some emergency or whatever.
Right. The lunch place and time, which is also on the 3996, the lunch place and time, is if management needed you during the day, they'd have to say, okay, Michael's at Panda Express from 12 to 1230. So they go out there between 12 and 1230 to look for you.
In case there's an emergency, because lunch is your time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're off the clock during that time. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so that's, you know, that's what this harkens back to.
Because you're off the clock during that time, you are allowed to use lunch at anywhere else.
Right.
As long as you're within that 30-minute period.
Yeah, so there is a restriction. I forget where I saw it, but it's essentially that you can't cost the post office any extra money.
Right.
You know, you can't use your lunch break to drive your LLV across town and use the post office's gas. But as long as you're not doing that, you do have flexibility.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're driving somewhere that costs more than 30 minutes, yes. But since 30 minutes is very short anyway, why would you drive 15 minutes somewhere and 15 minutes back?
Maybe you have to run an errand instead of eating lunch.
Right.
I don't know.
But either way, you are able to use a lunch at different locations because this is something that you can use as a human factor.
Yes, that's exactly right. And if a carrier were disciplined over it, that would be the argument. That, look, I got hungry at this time. I don't want to risk, you know, have my blood sugar crash or whatever. I have my reasons for taking the lunch there instead of the normal place.
Or, you know, what if the food you brought spoiled or it got hot because it's hot outside or something?
Right.
Okay. And you forgot the ice or something like this, so it gets hot.
Or
you want something cold.
This place has better air conditioning and it's hot today.
Right.
Whatever your reason is, to answer the last question, can a carrier be disciplined for taking their break at a different location?
Of course. Imagine they can do whatever the hell they want.
Right. And these are the defenses that your union will use. And they're good defenses.
Mm-hmm.
That, yes, you have reasons. You're a human being. You don't have to be there.
And most good unions will get that thrown out.
Yep. That's exactly right. All right. I think that answers that question. Next question. There are two stations in the same city run by the same postmaster. Each station has its own shop steward. Unfortunately, our station's shop steward is ineffective and only looks out for himself. Many of us don't trust him and would prefer not to be represented by him. If we're questioned or facing discipline, can we request representation from the shop steward at the other station? If not, we'd honestly rather go alone.
Okay. So first of all, you can your Shastri can be the only one that represents you at that station.
Yeah, because
other Shastri cannot.
Right. They cannot.
Now, here's the...
Well, you can't request the other shop steward to come over.
Now,
yes.
If your branch president...
Yes.
Since he is the head steward, he can represent you.
Right.
Or he can get somebody else to
That's do that exactly right. for you. The branch president has the authority to assign an outside steward to come in for representation. And if you're dealing with an issue of a lack of representation... That's a big deal, and that needs to be addressed by your branch president. And if it's not addressed by them, then it needs to be addressed by the business agent.
But here's another thing you can do.
What's that?
Can represent yourself. Okay.
You can. So, you know they say if go ahead.
I don't need arguments on this.
Okay. All right.
You can represent yourself by doing your own grievance. So you can write up your own contentions, do your whole thing together, put your grievance together. Mm-hmm. But you have to allow the shop steward to be in this sitting with the informal A, with the supervisor, and to make sure that you're not breaking any rules of our contract, and so they're sitting in for your grievance.
Okay.
If management does not agree, then your grievance gets sent up to the higher level.
Right, and it's out of your hands.
Out of your hands at that point. But you're the one who wrote that up, so that is where you're in control.
Right.
You did your own thing.
Yeah, in theory, you can represent yourself at the informal A level.
Yes,
that is correct. But a much better solution is to talk to your branch president about your inadequate representation and see if there's another solution.
And another solution is if your steward is not doing their job,
you
can also file charges for not representing.
That is correct. That is one of the things that is covered in the Constitution that you can absolutely file charges on, that failure to represent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why your branch president should take it seriously. And if they don't, your business agent should take it seriously. Because that's the whole purpose of the union.
Mm-hmm. Because you can file charges against even the president if they're not doing their job.
Correct.
So all it goes all those ways.
Next question. Is seniority still being honored? It seems like this is a CCA question. It seems like... It could apply to regulars too. Yeah. You're right. It seems like the newer carriers are often given easier laps. I presume that's like auxiliary assistance. Because they're slower.
Usually because they're faster.
Well, we'll get into it.
Okay.
I'll read the question as written.
Okay.
Meanwhile, those of us with more seniority are given the harder auxiliary assistance, supposedly because we're the best of the best. But in reality, management just doesn't want to deal with the new carriers not possibly finishing. So what they'll do is maybe they have an hour and a half work. They're going to give that to the runner, and they're going to give the hour work to the slow person. Because if they give the hour and a half to the slow person, it's going to take them 2.5 hours. And I think management's trying to avoid that.
But there is no seniority for that.
That is correct.
That is actually the management's responsibility to move the floor how they want.
Okay? Right.
And it's up to them. But so here's the thing. If you're the best and you're the senior carrier and you're the best, what are you doing running fast in the CCA?
That's a great question. Yeah, so Michael has it exactly right. There is no contractual obligation to give the most preferential auxiliary assistance to the highest seniority carrier. Management can divide it up however they want. Now, there are provisions in the M39, or they might be in the ELM. I'm pretty sure they're in the M39, that management should be assigning auxiliary assistance in an efficient manner, that they need to consider who's close to this area already so that they minimize travel time and they minimize downtime and deliver their mail in the most efficient way possible. So if they're violating that, then, you know, if they're playing favorites to the extent that, you know, you have one carrier on one side of the zip code and they're going clear across to the other side just so that they can get
a different zip code
just to get a cherry auxiliary assistance. Now you may have a grievance because you can show that management's not following their own policies.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, I want this part of the route and somebody else wants the other part, it's totally up to management. And that's one of those things that we call, it's a gripe, not a grievance. Management might be being unfair in the way they're doing it, but it doesn't violate the contract.
But if you're the best and you still run faster than the CCA, they're going to keep doing the same thing.
Oh, without question.
Whatever reason, you go slower than the CCA, do you think they're going to keep putting you on that or the CCA?
Yeah, right, right. Exactly. Ultimately, you need to do the job at a sustainable level.
At your sustainable level
where you're not going to burn yourself out, but you can still look at yourself in the mirror. Mm-hmm.
But again, if you don't like what's happening, don't go faster in the CCA unless you want to keep doing the same thing.
That is correct. All right, next we have a really interesting one. What's your opinion on the T6 position? Can a T6 issue discipline? What authority do they actually have?
None.
Yeah, they're a carrier just like you. Mm-hmm. It is technically a higher level position.
Because they're doing five routes.
Right, but they're still carriers just like everybody else. And this is only important to me. No one else cares. T6 is an outdated term because it used to be that as carriers, we got paid at G5 level. And that was our government pay. And then carrier technicians got paid at level 6. And so that's where that T6 came from. They're a carrier technician, level 6. But now our pay chart for a long time has been level 1 for a regular carrier and then level 2 for a carrier technician. So the T6 term is outdated, but that's still the one that everybody uses. And it does not matter at all to this question. The important thing is that neither of you is the other one's boss. And this is something that does matter to people that I do want to talk about, because oftentimes I've been a T6. Were you ever a T6, Michael?
Yes.
So as a T6, the regular carrier acts like they're my boss and they're going to tell me how to carry their route on their day off. And that regular carrier needs to realize that's not their route. That mm-hmm. route belongs to the post office.
Right.
And if the technician is making mistakes, sure, that's something.
And that means a T6 cannot issue discipline either.
Right, the regular carrier can't issue discipline to the T6.
The only ones that can issue discipline is the actual supervisor.
Is management, right?
And that means not 204Bs either.
Yeah, so
immediate supervisor.
Right, and that brings up, I wonder if this person meant to ask 204B mm-hmm. rather than T6.
But just in case.
But yeah, we're going to answer the question as asked. Mm-hmm. And no, neither of you have any authority over the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're right. Neither of you is the other's boss.
Because as you know, 204Bs, a lot of the contract basically says is the immediate supervisor, because they know what they're supposed to know what's in the contract.
Right.
204Bs do not.
They sure don't.
They're there to train.
Right. Maybe we'll get another question about 204Bs.
Yeah.
For now, right. Yeah. We got one more question, and then we will get out of here, make this a fairly short episode. Next question. Is casing parcels considered office time or street time?
Parcels is a street time function.
Right.
Spurs are office time
function. That is exactly right.
And parcels, you're not supposed to be casing.
Right. So the way the question is worded, parcels should not be cased. They need to be handled on street time. But if they're small, if you would deliver them with your regular mail and, you know, you're going to carry them just like you would a flat, then you can case that, and that is absolutely specifically provided for.
And spurs are considered flats.
Spurs are considered flats, right. And there's multiple places in the manuals that say that you are absolutely allowed to case spurs. Do you know what spur stands for?
I don't remember right now. I've read a few times.
Small parcels and rolls. So like medicine, thing, mm-hmm. Little things like that. And rolls would be like posters, newspapers, stuff like that.
Actually, I saw the acronym in a different way before. So
in the Carrier Academy, it's made very clear.
Okay,
SPR.
Well, the small SPR parcels with the clerks, I think, was said something different, but meaning the same thing.
Yeah. Either way, that's what it is. And so, yeah, those small parcels, absolutely 100%, you can case them, but bigger parcels have to be taken directly to the street. And that's it. Look at that, another successful mailbag done.
Technically, that's from one person.
Well, it is. Yeah. Okay. But.
So we would like more questions from more people.
We would.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it turns out that this makes really easy content for us. Mm-hmm. And it helps people. And so that's a win-win as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Yeah, we can knock these out, answer the questions, and you get an episode, and you learn something.
Right.
Yep, good stuff.
Okay. So again, if you get more questions, send it to...
classesofmail@gmail.com. Nice. All right. And with that, that's all we got. We will catch you all next time.